There we go. All right. Let's try again. I called to order the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting for today, September 18, 2025. The time is currently 5:01. And present this evening are board members, myself, Angela Jenkins, David Waugh, Sam Fritz, Cliff Goodard, and city staff. Present includes Katie Bennin, Zoning Administrator, City staff Carrie Olson and Gabriela Arteaga. Before I move into the procedures, I would like to entertain a vote or a motion from the board members here, which is to appoint me as the acting chair for tonight's meeting. David, is that?
I nominate Angela Jenkins to be the chair of this meeting.
Thank you.
A
Motion
second.
second. Any objection to a unanimous or a consent vote? Seeing no hands raised, motion pass. Thank
And
you.
I'll just read my script quick, I think. Okay. Welcome to the virtual meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals. A few notes before we begin. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you may reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. Board members, please use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. The chair will do their best to call on members in the order in which hands are raised. If you lower your hand, it will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak. The name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. Your mics will be off until you're called on. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Applicants may use their video during the public hearing portion of their case. The video will be turned off when that portion is completed. For members of the public other than applicants, please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Gabby. I would like to first take a few minutes to explain the procedures that we follow for you to support or oppose an agenda item. First, reminding everyone to please mute yourself when not speaking. And if you have not already done so, anyone wishing to register their support or opposition to an agenda item or wishing to speak on an agenda item must register online at www.cityofmadison.com/meeting-registration. Registration is required for all speakers, including applicants, because we record the hearing and use the recording to prepare the meeting minutes. We do follow an agenda, and I will announce each of the agenda item. Katie will then give an introduction to your agenda item, and when your project is called, I will call upon you to speak. You will first need to state your name for the record and have 3 minutes to describe your proposal. We ask that you describe why the variance is necessary and what you have done to minimize the amount of variance that you are requesting. The board then will have an opportunity to ask questions, and I will ask you to rejoin the audience. Those in the audience in favor of your proposal will be given an opportunity to speak, followed by those who oppose. If there are any comments in opposition, you will be given an opportunity to make rebuttal remarks and respond to any additional board questions. Public participation on the agenda item will then close, and the board will deliberate and vote. You will hear us discussing your case, but you will not be allowed to comment. Approval requires a majority votes of the members present tonight. If you have any questions after the board's action, please contact Katie Bennin, City Zoning Board Administrator, tomorrow morning. Her phone number is 608-266 4569, and her email is kbannon@cityofmedicine.com. If you are bringing any new information which was not included in the original application, we will require a copy for our records. And the first item of business is the approval of the minutes of the meeting on, we have it here, Thursday, June 12th, 2025. Or do we need a minute to review the draft meeting minutes?
I'll just note that I wasn't present, so I'm going to abstain.
Thank you, Sam. David.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve. Is there a second? Cliff, take that as a second. Any comments, revisions to the minutes? Seeing none, we will take a vote or any oppose to a unanimous consent with Sam abstaining from the vote. Take that as a no. The motion passed, the minutes is approved. The next item is the public comment. Public comments are generally the comments for the board and not regarding a specific agenda item. Do we have any public comments today registered?
So we do. We have one of the applicants registered under the public comment, but I believe the applicant meant to register for item two, which is the actual item.
Ah, okay. Procedurally, do we need the applicant to re-register in, you know, to the correct agenda item?
I just asked the applicant to unmute to confirm that he doesn't also want to speak on something unrelated during the public comment, but he should take a moment at some point during tonight's meeting to register and not for item two, so that it's registered correctly for the record.
And I have an email drafted for that.
Sounds good. Is this applicant?
This would be Tony.
Tony.
Tony, do you have any objections to that process?
No, I don't have any objections, but I don't completely understand. I'm so sorry. Could you tell me, I applied to provide comments in the wrong place?
Correct. So there, for every agenda that the city's various boards post, there's a public comment where anyone can make a comment on anything they want for up to 3 minutes, but it's unrelated to any agenda item on the actual approved agenda. So for you, you should have registered for item two, but if you wanted to say anything unrelated to item two's action or case, public comment would have been the appropriate choice.
I understand. Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. All right, seeing there are no public comments, we can move on to the next item, which is on disclosures and recusals. Are there any board members who wish to disclose information or recuse themselves on any agenda item tonight? Seeing none. We will then move on to the next agenda item, which is item number two, Legistar 89794, which is Anthony Dreyfuss, owner of the property at 1017 Lawrence Street, requests front and side setback variances for a detached garage for a single family house in Alder District number 13. Katie, if you're up.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I will share first information from the application. There we go. Okay, hopefully you're seeing my screen now. Here's a site plan of the property. So this site is a little bit unusual in that it's a through lot. We do have through lots in other parts of the city. There are lots that have two street frontages. The way the zoning code treats through lots is that there's two front yards then, so two front setbacks, two front lot lines. They're relatively rare for a smaller single family residential lot like this. We more often see them with, you know, larger commercial or mixed use industrial type development. But this is one that exists in Madison. So we have Lawrence Street to the west and Homer Court to the east. The functional front of the house, probably what the homeowners think of as the front, is on Lawrence Street, and that's how it's addressed as well. However, they also have this Homer Court front. So today there's an existing shed structure towards the Homer Street side, that front of the property. And what's proposed is to add a new garage. So remove the existing shed, add a new garage in this place. Share the marked up site plan here to give you a little bit of an idea of what's proposed and what's requested for the variances. So, there's a required front setback of 20 feet, which also applies to Homer Court. So there's a front setback variance requested for building this garage. The requirement is 20 feet and 10 feet is proposed. Additionally, because this isn't like we would typically see with a detached garage in a rear yard, once you're behind the rear of your house, you can have a 3-foot side setback. However, there's really no rear here technically according to the zoning code. So the 4-foot setback that would be required for your house, kind of what we call the building envelope, is required here rather than 3 feet. The applicant has proposed a side setback variance here of 1 foot. So 4 feet is required, 3 feet is proposed for a variance of 1 foot. Share elevations here of the proposed garage. So it's proposed to be a 14 by 20 of each side. Here's an aerial photograph that shows the house in relation to other houses. Lawrence Street here. So north is to the west, north is to the left on this. Homer Court. Photograph of the street there. I'll share some photographs I took as well when I was on the property. So here's the three closest neighbors. The applicant provided these photographs. 1013 Lawrence with a 7-foot setback. 1101 Lawrence with a 5'4" setback. And 1103 Lawrence with a 2'8" setback. Next, I'll share some photographs I took. Okay, here's the west front elevation from Lawrence Street. So this is where I mentioned that the house is addressed from. It's the functional front, but it's just one of the two fronts according to the zoning code. This is kind of moving around the side here towards the south side of the house. And this is looking back on the south side of the house towards Lawrence Street. Here's the east front elevation, more like the functional rear of the home, facing Homer Court.
And this is the other side of the house. So looking back on the north side of the house towards Lawrence Street. This is showing the home or court front yard, I guess is the best way to phrase it. So there's that deck you could see on that portion of the house. And then to the right here on the photograph, you can see the existing shed. This is looking from home or court towards the house. You can see that existing shed. That seems to be right about on the property line, hard to tell for sure, but I believe that's what the existing site plan showed. So what's proposed is to inset the proposed garage 3 feet from the side and 10 feet from the front here from home or court. So there's those two variances. And this is looking the opposite direction to home or court, the back of that existing shed. So I took some other photographs of the block just to give a little bit of a feel, similar to the applicant, of like what this block looks like to explain the variance request a little bit better. So this is going towards to the south on the same block face. So this side of the lot, the block, you can really kind of see how these houses were developed in some ways as though home or court was the rear. On the other side of the street of home or court, those houses aren't through lots. They face home or court like a typical house would as a front. And they have a sidewalk. This side of the street doesn't have a sidewalk. This is going south. So this is kind of the first house to the south, another to the south there. Just kind of moving along the block here. And then this is going in the other direction. So north of the subject property, 1017 Lawrence, kind of walking down that block. And on the same side of Homer Court. You can see how kind of these detached garages are really aligned to Homer Court. And that's the last one on the northern part of this block face. Here's an aerial photograph that shows these conditions. So this is the subject property, 1017 Lawrence Street, Homer Court. You can see how they all have these two frontages, other than corner lots aren't through lots, which is not something we're gonna talk about tonight, but all the other ones on the block other than the corner lots are through lots with this two front yard condition. And then the other side of the street, as I mentioned, those really do have home or court more as their functional front, a typical front. Also, I did want to mention in my staff report, I included a suggested condition if a variance is approved by the Zoning Board of Appeals tonight. It's not totally uncommon. One thing I encountered when I went out to the property is it looked like there's kind of a pre-existing non-conforming driveway and parking area. This happens over time. Sometimes people will make adjustments to their property, previous owners, without getting approval. And it comes to us as part of it, a request to do something else on the property that we see that this has already occurred previously and the new owners kind of inherited this. So I'd like to have a condition on here. It's not really related so much to the variance, so much as it's important, like, to make it clear that the approval tonight doesn't approve that lawful or illegal non-conforming condition that would have to be addressed before we could issue a building permit for the garage, because we want to have an approved site plan that meets zoning code. With that, that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Katie. Tony, if you can come off mute, please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. Hi, I'm Tony Dreyfus. My address is 1017 Lawrence Street.
Great. Is Katie's description accurate?
Yeah, very accurate.
Thank you. You now have 3 minutes to describe why the variance is necessary and what you have done to minimize the variance request tonight.
Sure. Thank you. And good evening, members of the board. My name is Tony Dreyfus, as I said, and I'm here to request a variance so I can replace my dilapidated old shed on my property at 1017 Lauren Street. I'd like to walk you through how this request meets the six standards so you can make your decision accordingly. So first, unique conditions of the property. As Katie said, it's what's called a through lot, meaning we're fortunate enough to have two front yards on Lawrence Street and Homer Court. Forgot to ask how many front yards the house has when I bought it. Now I know. It's extremely, I think, unusual for a single family home in Madison. But on our block, Homer Court functions more like an alley than like a street, as you saw in the photos. There's no sidewalk, and most of the homes, like mine, already have garages and parking pads very close to the lot lines and to the street there. And the unique layout makes the normal rules kind of difficult to apply for us. Second, the purpose intent of the zoning. The goal of setbacks, I believe, is to create space and to protect neighbors and to keep the streetscape orderly. And even with this variance, my plan does that. The garage will, in fact, sit further back from the street than many other garages on Homer Court. It will also meet the city's traffic safety requirements. And while technically both sides of a through lot are fronts, the garage will be behind the practical rear of my home. So it still lines up, I think, with the spirit of the code. The burden of strict compliance, if I were to follow the letter of the code...
I'm sorry, you have a minute and just a bit.
Oh, okay. Got it. If I were to follow the letter of the code, I'd have to build the garage almost in my kitchen. Hardship, my home was built in 1916. Requiring a full setback would squeeze the garage into a weird, impractical spot. And no harm to neighbors. It's actually going to sit further back from the lot lines than it is right now, and it'll look a lot better. And it'll fit with the neighborhood, number six, because all the other homes have garages and parking pads, along the street there. So thank you so much. I hope I'm solving a practical problem with this unusual lot. I appreciate your time and this process.
Thank you, Tony. Are there any questions from the board for the applicant or staff? David.
I have a question for Katie. Katie, you mentioned that we may want to put a condition about working with staff on the parking that might be illegal. I guess I'm a little confused, and maybe I didn't understand your explanation. If we didn't do that, what would be, I mean, I guess that, is that a variance issue? I mean, if they wanted to continue that illegal parking, would that require a variance request? I'm just wondering why this board is being asked to comment on that.
Yeah, if they did want to keep some of that expansion that was done illegally, I couldn't tell you exactly how many years ago, that would be an additional variance request. That's not what's requested tonight. I did discuss it with the applicant of this condition of what reduction would be required to bring it into compliance. So it's more just for clarity because the site plan doesn't show what change, and there could be a couple different options for a change that could bring it into compliance, that this site plan approval, I mean, it's not a site plan approval, but the site plan that's attached to this case doesn't mean that this approves non-compliant parking and drives. We would still have to address that as part of our ultimate zoning approval outside of the variance requested tonight, before we could issue a building permit.
And then let's just say that the applicant and the city can't come to an agreement, then it would come back here.
Yep, that would be a new variance request.
A new variance request. Oh, I think I understand that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sam?
Katie, question for you. I see the staff report talks about kind of the uniqueness of these through lots. And I just wanted to clarify whether the through lots are unique in this district or just in Madison generally. I think just trying to be cognizant that I think this standard one goes to properties in the district.
Yes, we have, I think it's 15 different residential zoning districts. I think it's unique to any single family home district, primarily district. You know, they all allow single and two family now with a recent code change. But this district is primarily one and two family homes. So it is unique to this district as well.
Did you have more questions, Sam?
Yeah, I can ask one more. Katie, don't think I totally understand the purpose or intent section with regards to how the side and front yard setback kind of overlay onto a property like this. I guess it's my understanding that it almost sounds like the side yard and front yard setbacks are kind of not really designed for this sort of situation where you have a single family home that's in a through lot. Is that accurate, or is there a different way to understand that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about typically when you have a through lot, you really do want the building to be thinking about both streets and being oriented towards both streets in certain ways. And we have a lot of different things in our zoning code about front yards outside of setbacks. That would apply if you're a through lot. So I think that makes a lot of sense about why we have certain requirements about fronts. And most through lots are quite large. And so it is really doable to meet all those design requirements and setbacks so that a building or buildings on a through lot typically can be oriented towards both streets and really be fitting in with the context. This is a little bit different. As you kind of saw with those photographs, boy, none of those properties seem to really be developed in that way historically as home or court as a front on this block face. And same thing with the side setback. I didn't, you know, do measurements or talk about that a whole lot, but same kind of thing. It seems like really historically, this was thought of as a rear yard, even though the zoning code doesn't treat it that way for, I think, a good reason. So this really, that unique piece of it being the single family lot condition and the context of this particular block, the code just doesn't really work the way it typically would.
Okay, thank you.
I'm ready to make a motion. Are you ready to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Okay, I would like to make a motion to approve the applicant's variance request, and also add a condition that the petitioner shall work with staff to address the matter of the non-compliance with the driveway and parking area on the site.
Okay, a motion's been made by Cliff to approve the application with the condition. Sam, is that a second?
That's a second.
Thank you. Motion has been made. When we're ready, we may discuss the standards. Let's go with standard one. Sam?
So standard one are conditions unique to the property. I think as Katie and the applicant both addressed, through lots in this district are unique. And then in addition, this seems like a particularly unique form of through lot in the sense that it's a single family home that has a smaller lot size than a typical through lot would have.
Yeah, we'll move on to standard two, which my apologies, I seem to not have those standards available to me. Standard two pertains to the zoning district's purpose and intent. David.
Yes, I think, you know, as we've mentioned with the standard for variance, the one, number one. Number two, the intent is to, you know, protect development in the front of the house and what the street, now what we have on the other side of the street is the front of the house. This is a very unique situation. And I think in this case, the intent is for what would be, should be the front of this house, but is actually the back of the house. So in this case, I think the variance is in spirit of the code and what its intent is.
Thank you, David. Sam?
I think I'll just chime in and say that it seems like my understanding of the intent of these front and side yard setbacks is to provide a building envelope. That typically is makes sense when you have a larger multifamily through lot. In this case, we have a smaller through lot that is not multifamily, and therefore, it doesn't seem like this variance is contrary to the purpose or intent of the regulation.
Thank you, Sam. Yeah, Katie?
Yeah, Chair Jenkins, I did just email you the standards, so if you want to pull them up, they are in your inbox.
Thank you. Okay. I found them.
Okay, great.
All right. Let's move on to standard three then, which is for a use variance, compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance will result in no reasonable use of the property. David?
Yes, because we have a garage in a backyard, which is where one might expect it to be in this case, it would be unnecessarily burdensome to actually try to shoehorn a garage so close to the house that it would actually be interfering with the rhythm of the neighborhood as well as just the usability of that house.
Thank you, David. Sam?
I'll just add with regards to the side setback, we've talked about how the way that this lot is unique in terms of being a smaller through lot than a typical through lot would be that the zoning regulations would be created for. My understanding based on Katie's presentation is that typically a non-through lot house would have a 3-foot setback in the rear, and here there's a 3-foot setback. So treating this property more like the single family sort of property that it is, this complies with that situation.
David?
Yeah, I'm glad Sam brought that up because the one thing that typically we may have asked the homeowner why they did not move 1 foot in. And I think in this case, that would have been a mistake because essentially this is being treated as a front yard because of the houses across the street. view of these properties, I think having a garage, you know, in that view shed is actually contrary to what the ordinance is looking for.
Thank you, David. That's good perspective. Anyone else like to chime? Nope. We'll move on to the next standard, which is the alleged difficulty or hardship is created by the terms of the ordinance rather than by a person who has a present interest in the property. Sam?
We've talked about this before, but the fact that this is a smaller single family through lot creates a unique condition here. And so complying with that in a strict sense would be difficult, and it would kind of render the applicant unable to use their property in a similar way as those around them. So the hardship is not really being created by the applicant here so much as the existing development in their area, as well as the zoning code's broad designation of a through lot that may not strictly apply to or apply neatly to a smaller single family through lot.
Thank you, Sam. Any additions? Okay, let's move on to standard 5, which is the proposed variance shall not create substantial detriment to the adjacent property. Cliff?
I can give it a shot. Let's see. I would say that the proposed garage is not out of scale with the adjacent structures on neighboring properties, and it also matches the pattern of development along that block face on Homer Court.
Thank you, Cliff. Sam?
Yeah, I'll just add that we don't have any evidence that neighbors have objected, and it seems like there's not substantial loss of light or air as a result of this because it fits into the development pattern of the neighborhood.
Thank you. We'll move on to the last standard, which is the proposed variance shall be compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood, which I think some of you may have alluded to that in prior standards. David.
Yeah, I think thank the applicant for sending photos of adjacent properties and showing us the development that's happening or has happened there, and how his proposal is actually in sync with the neighborhood. There, you know, if this was like way out of line with those, we might be having a different conversation, but he seems to be right in sync with the other structures that have been built over time.
Thank you, David. Any other further, Cliff?
I would agree with that and add that this condition is also a little safer than some of the existing garage structures that are very close to the street. This is 10 feet, which I think is safer for backing in and out and probably for snow removal and garbage and stuff like that too.
Yeah, thank you, Cliff. Are there any other further discussions from the board this time? Seeing none, a motion to approve has been made and second. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on this item? If you do object to it or would like a roll call, please raise your hand. Seeing none, the motion is approved. Let's move on to the second item on the agenda, which is item Legistar 89795. That is JD Development, representative of the owner of the property at 2110 Bascom Street, requests a maximum height variance for an addition to a single family house in Aldo District Number 5. Katie, floor is yours when you're ready.
Okay. As usual, I'll start by sharing the applicant's plans and some information about the proposed variance. This is an existing single family house, and what's requested tonight is a maximum height variance. This district has a maximum height of 35 feet and 37.1 feet is the proposed height for a variance of 2.1 feet. The existing house is already over the height limit, and I was over to my staff report real quickly here to revert exactly what it is. The existing house has a height of 36.9 feet. What's proposed is an addition to the rear of the house. You can see it a little better on these next elevations here. The addition is kind of on the rear half of the house. And there is a significant grade change as you go kind of to the, I can't remember what side of the property that is now, to the rear of the property. I can't remember directionally. I'll remember when I see the actual photographs. But because of the existing height of the house and then this addition to the rear, as the elevation, the slope goes down, there is an increase in height. So to explain a little bit how we measure height of a principal building, actually these graphics are pretty good at showing that. So we look at the midpoint, and the midpoint can change with an addition, right? So the existing house, you know, we look at the midpoint of that part, but with the addition, we have a new midpoint. So that is the middle portion of the building. That's the low point. We look at that point in the grade. And then we look at the high point on the building overall. So it's a little bit, you can't really see on this elevation, if you see my cursor kind of circling, but the peak of the house is right behind here. So we're measuring from the midpoint here at the bottom. Wish my cursor were a little bit bigger. Hopefully you can see me. I'm gonna zoom in actually a little bit. Maybe that'll make it a little easier. Here to the top here. And then we take an average of each elevation. So the applicant marked the plans really well here with how that height is measured and what the height is of each elevation. So you can see each of those, add them up, divide by four, as we do with an average to determine what the height of the building is. So a lot of that is to try to accommodate this variance in, not a zoning variance, but a difference in height on different sides of a building that can occur, especially when there is some elevation change. So here's the front and the rear elevation of what's proposed. And then there's a few photographs of the existing. I have some photographs to share as well. And then the two sides. So this is the front here and the rear, front and rear. And those measurements, again, from midpoint to the highest point. This shows it a little bit better, how this is the highest point of the house to the midpoint, and that's the height measurement. Again, a few existing photographs. Floor plans also included. An idea of what the that addition entails. Here's a site plan as well. The front here along Bascom, the existing home, and then the proposed addition to the rear. Here's a few renderings. Some interior renderings. Now I'll share some photographs of the site. Okay, so here's the south front elevation of the house. You can see as we move around the side to the east, there's a drop in elevation. This is looking back towards Bascom from the front. So here's the side elevation and the rear. The north rear elevation as it exists today. So you can see that it is quite a bit taller from the rear today. Moving around to the other side on the west side of the property. You can see the driveway and looking back towards Bascom again. Took a couple of photographs too. You could kind of see this house in context with the neighbors. So here's the neighbor to the west on the left side of your screen. And the neighbor to the east. Here's where those steps were that I showed going down. Across the street, there's a fraternity house that's quite a ways from Bascom and is set up pretty high up on a hill, just to give you context of what that side of the street looks like. And then back to the house. So that is the variance request before you tonight.
Great. Thank you, Katie. Let's see. Let's have, I believe, are the applicants here? Or is it just the applicant's representative? Okay, is that Matt Eaton of JG Development?
Starting video.
Yep. Hi, Matt. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Matt Eaton and JG Development at 455 South Junction Road in Madison.
Great. Is Katie's description of the proposal accurate?
Yes, I think Katie really spoke to it pretty well. But essentially dealing with a home built in 1924.
One moment.
Oh, sorry about that.
Pieces at a time. I want to make sure you get your full 3 minutes. So thank you for confirming the description. So now you have 3 minutes to describe to us why the variance is necessary and what you have done to minimize the variance request.
Perfect. So like I was saying, home was built in 1924 with an exposed walkout basement. All the grading there is existing. So essentially, any addition we'd be putting onto this home would be required for a variance because it would be over that height to start with for that existing home. For us, this home is for an elderly couple so part of that addition as well is an elevator that's part of this build. So an addition would be necessary to make that accommodate for them. But what we're kind of looking at, like Katie said, is the addition we're putting onto the back is below the max height. The second floor addition about 6.5 feet below the maximum peak, and the garage bedroom addition is about 15 feet below the max height. With that, You know, part of this too with being a historic district, we've worked closely with them to make sure that this house and this design that we're presenting is compliant kind of with the intention of the neighborhood. We've gone back and forth with them and put this plan together, and we have received that approval from the Landmark Commission that it would be appropriate. So essentially just, yep, like Katie said, just looking for that approval for that that height variance. So all the, I guess other than that, all the other setbacks are compliant. So it's just the height. So, yeah.
Great, thank you. Are there questions from the board for the applicants? Sam?
I believe this is the case, but just to double check, it sounds like you're just putting an addition on the back and not touching the roof line at all.
That is correct.
Okay, great.
Any questions from Cliff or David? Seeing none. Oh, Sam?
I motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Do I have a second? David, is that a second?
I second.
Thank you, David. Great. Thank you. I guess this might be a question for Gabby. Do we have any, we don't have anybody else registered for this item, correct?
No.
All right, I will then close the public hearing. And a motion has been made and second. Thus, let's proceed with the discussion of the standards. Standard one, there are conditions that are unique to the property of the applicant that do not generally apply to other properties in the district. Sam?
The property is on a slope and it's prior non-conforming.
Thank you. Any additions from anyone else? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to standard two. The variance is not contrary to the spirit, purpose, and intent of the regulations in the zoning district and is not contrary to the public interest. David.
I think Katie did a good job explaining the way these heights are calculated. And the fact that the existing structure, which is a beautiful house, is already over and is already taller. And the addition is downslope. So it's actually from the intent and purpose, we're not actually going up from, you know, the street facing, or you're not creating a lot of additional bulk up and above what is standard for that area or the ordinance.
Agreed. Thank you, David. Sam?
Yeah, I'll just add that it seems like the purpose of the code is to provide a similar height or below a certain height. And here, the height of the building is not changing at all. What's changing is how we're calculating the height. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We'll move on to standard three then. For an area variance, compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance would unreasonably prevent the use of the property for a permitted purpose or would render the compliance with the ordinance unnecessarily burdensome. Sam?
In order to comply with the ordinance, the applicant would either have to change the grade of their house, which seems unnecessarily burdensome, or I guess reconstruct the roof line, which is also unnecessarily burdensome given that they're trying to put an addition on the back of their house.
Thank you, Sam. Any other comments or additions from board members? Okay, seeing none, move on to standard four, which is the alleged difficulty or hardship is created by the terms of the ordinance rather than by a person who has a present interest in the property. David.
Yeah, I think it's the ordinance itself. I mean, the other layer to this is that this is a historic district. So you combine the site and the grade and the existing roof line and the historic ordinance. It's clear that it's not the it's the ordinance itself which is makes it burdensome or difficult.
Thank you, David. Standard five, the proposed variance shall not create substantial detriment to adjacent property. Sam?
I'll just note again that what's changing here is not the height of the building, but how we're calculating the height. So the variance is not changing anything with regard to the neighboring properties.
Right, they're not additional bulk change in the footprint. Then we move on to the, David.
I think the footprint is changing. I just wanted to clarify that. And it actually does add quite a bit of bulk into the backyard. But we're looking at the height, and I don't think the height and the way it's calculated actually will have a negative impact on the neighbor. Just clarifying.
We'll move on to the final standard, which is the proposed variance shall be compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood.
Yeah, I would say that the addition project is very well designed and definitely keeping in character with the other houses in the neighborhood, which is a historic district.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Cliff. David?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that that this got the nod from the historic committee, which definitely looks at these things. And I think that the applicant did a terrific job designing for the historic nature. I don't know if it's appropriate to say, but I think one of their neighbors would have failed, in my opinion, along these lines. But this house looks like the addition is almost invisible from the street, which is very important in a historic district.
Yes, thank you, David. Any other discussion from the board? All right, seeing none, a motion to approve has been made and second. Are there any objection to recording a unanimous vote? If you do object or would like a roll call, please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, the motion is approved based on the finding that the standards were met and requested. This then concludes the public hearing portion of the meeting. The final agenda item is communications and announcements. Gabby, do we have any?
Yes. I did not see any applications come in. I will just double check Tyler tomorrow just to make sure. But we did get, not we specifically, but the committees got an email from the city attorney reminding us of very long list of administrative tasks that they are wanting us to do. So I think it would make sense to meet and get those taken care of.
Okay. Are you proposing an out of cycle meeting?
Well, if we don't have any applications, we wouldn't normally meet next month. Mm-hmm. But if we don't, we still have things to do. So I think we should meet.
I see. I understand now. So right now you do not have any applications or cases for next month. However, or irregardless of that, we would still meet because we have other housekeeping items to work on. Do we normally ask for a board input on vote? I mean, it should be on our calendar. I feel that, you know, if we, I think it will just be your standard procedure in essentially requesting those to confirm to you their attendance for next month's meeting.
Nothing would change. We would still ask for quorum and send out the agenda on a similar cycle. It's just that you wouldn't be getting variance packets, although there may be documentation related to the housekeeping.
Sounds good. And you don't need a quorum for that, or do you? I think
we would need a quorum to meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would need a quorum also to vote. So we would need to maintain that quorum if things would require a vote from the board to move them forward.
On those administrative items or whatever directives are from the city's attorney's office.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I was trying to get out of it. Potentially. Just trying to be thorough. What's needed. Thank you.
Yeah, we can look at the list too and what the timeline is on it and evaluate like what's needed and when too, but.
Okay. Not a problem. Any other announcements or items? All right, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. David?
I move to adjourn.
I think Sam's.
A second.
And the meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.